This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn Mark and Roshan Kanison. It's 9:18 in the morning, Thursday, the 14th of January. Before we take a look at the potential economic impact of this current MCO we're facing, let's take another quick look at the KLCI.
The KLCI is up 0.4% this morning, 1,643 points this morning. And leading the index there is Hong Leong Financial Group. It's up 4% this morning, at 17 ringgit and 90 cent right now, which is a little bit of a change from a few minutes ago, or at least at the start of the day, where Public Bank was leading the index. Press Metals is up 3.9% in second place here on the index at 8 ringgit and 60 cent. And Public Bank is up 2.15% at 21 ringgit and 86 cents. Most of the component stocks here, at least the top 15, are in the green here at this point.
All right. And now, if we look at this MCO business, the last MCO saw Malaysia's economy plunge 17.1% on year in the second quarter of 2020. So this was the worst performance in nearly 22 years. But the recent surge of COVID-19 infections has compelled our leadership to announce the reimposition of the MCO in several states, as well as, of course, an emergency declaration. In response, many have expressed concerns over the inevitable economic fallout. So for a view on this morning, we're speaking with Wan Suhaimi Wan Mohamed Saidi, Head of Economic Research at Kenanga Investment Bank. Thanks for joining us this morning, Suhaimi. So how will the reimposition of the MCO impact us economically? Bank Negara projected a 2021 GDP of between 6.5% to 7.5%. Is this number now achievable?
I think that is everyone's question right now, because the emergency proclamation or decree usually gives a negative connotation. And question now is, how is it going to impact the economy? Because five states, including Klang Valley, constitute about, based on our calculation, about 66-67% of total GDP for the country. Comparing the last MCO, although it is not as stringent, the impact, the knock-off of at least 2.2 percentage point of our GDP forecast for this year. So our initial GDP forecast is 6.1%. We definitely need to adjust it. We actually adjusted back down to 3.9%. That's our base case scenario. That means about 29 billion ringgit of real GDP growth, real income for the country would basically be gone because of the MCO and also the emergency decree. That is not as bad as last year, because last year was around 54, 55 billion ringgit knockoff. And mind you, our tourism industry, a major portion of our services sector, still hasn't fully recovered. Although more businesses are allowed to operate, the services sector, especially the retail subsectors, will have to endure a rather depressed revenue flow, because demand will be hindered by the mobility restrictions, and that will affect consumer confidence. And the result is that there will be more cost-cutting measures among businesses, including wage cuts and layoffs. So employment will be affected as well. So hopefully by August, our best-case scenario is that everything, let's say, they managed to inoculate to Malaysian population. There's a smooth vaccination process. Things will get better, and the number of cases will come down. Our best case scenario will be 5.4% for GDP. I don't think the 6.5% to 7.5% growth would be achievable right now. It's going to be hard. The emergency's main aim is for political stability, to make sure that the current government is still in power and do what they need to do. So that's the price they have to pay for the political stability.
Earlier, you mentioned that the imposition of the emergency has negative connotations. What are the implications of this, especially among foreign investors, both in the short and long term?
Good question. I think we know that Fitch have already downgraded our sovereign debt rating. And it's a matter of time before Moody's and Standard & Poor's would consider downgrading our long-term sovereign rating. So the possibility is there. And if that happens, then I think investors already, discounted that. And most likely, it will have some negative impact. There will be outflows. Already last year, equity outflows is huge. I think net outflow was about 25 billion. But on the other hand, there's a net inflow of 18.3 billion for last year. I mean, I'm talking about 2020. For this year, we still think there's going to be net bond inflows. On the equity side, there will be some recovery there. But given the fact that there's the emergency and resumption of MCO, I think there will be a backstep on these inflows of capital. So it may affect bond flows. Already we see bond yields spike up a bit, so it has deepened. So although overall in the region, emerging market investors are still looking at net bond inflow due to the risk-on effect because of the weak US dollar. So we still expect, but it's not as high as we would expect that would come to Malaysia.
Now, when the MCO took place last year, the government introduced multiple stimulus packages to combat the economic fallout of the pandemic. Do you think there will be a similar package this time around?
Not too sure about similar package because, I mean, they have already thrown in a lot of things, including kitchen sink. But Minister of Finance did mention in a statement that, you know, the government still has room to add to the stimulus. And we think agree with that because I think the government can still afford another 10 to 30 billion. I think we're going to start with another 10 billion perhaps to shore up the economy. I think that's most likely.
What about monetary policy? Do you think we'll see support in the form of an interest rate cut at the next MPC meeting?
The probability for another rate cut is higher right now. I think next week they would maybe cut another 25 basis points. I'm not surprised because they still have room to cut. At 1.75% on the overnight policy rate, it's still relatively high compared to our regional peers, with the exception of maybe Indonesia. But I think there's still room to cut. But the question now is, I don't think that it's going to make much of a dent on the growth because borrowing rates are already the historical low. And thing is, I'm not sure about the appetite for borrowing. And the outlook on the economy is not looking that good yet, you know. Although we are looking at a faster recovery in the second half, but, you know, still, I think banks and even consumers and households will be cautious about borrowing.
Will any of these measures have any implication on the ringgit? I mean, immediately after the emergency declaration, it fell to 4.08, only to recover to 4.06 against the USD. Will it remain this volatile?
Definitely, it will remain volatile. You know, we are at the mercy of the US dollar right now. And the outlook for the US dollar is weak so long as they maintain their monetary easing, you know, very low interest rates and bond buying exercise. So against US dollar, definitely, there will be volatility. But I still think the range is going to be between 4 to 4.15. You know, that range, I don't think it's going to go back to 4.30 or somewhere there unless things get really bad. But I don't think so. But my concern is on other major currencies, you know. So we are actually weaker against other major currencies like euro, Aussie dollar, the pound. So that's my concern. Our fixation towards US dollar is because, you know, US dollar has that exorbitant privilege, right? So at the end of the day, they can strengthen and they can weaken as much, but the demand for US dollar is still there and still the major currency for trade. So we are still maintaining our forecast for the ringgit at 3.95 by year end on the back of a stronger pickup in recovery in the second half of the year.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Sohaimi. That was one Sohaimi Wan Mohamed Saidi, Head of Economic Research at Kenanga Investment Bank. And quite a lot to unpack there, but I mean, he expects the ringgit to still be as volatile, but at the end of the day, maintaining forecast at 3.95 against the dollar.
Currently, it's 4.05 this morning. And, you know, we did see it almost touch the 4 ringgit mark a little while back. And it's come back off there. And if you take a look at some of the other currencies, the ringgit is 4.9168 to the euro and 5.515 to the British pound. So we're a little bit of weakening across the board today. But definitely over the, we've seen that whether it's dollar weakening or ringgit, mostly dollar weakening over the last few months, we've seen the ringgit come back down to below 4.10, which is great, I guess.
Yes, and Sohaimi also mentioned 5.4% as the best case scenario for GDP growth that he expects with this new MCO in place. And we're about to head into the 9.30 bulletin. Then after that, ringgit and cents. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.